It's beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. My good friends, this is Pastor Tex Mars of Bible Home Church, broadcasting from our headquarters here in Austin, Texas. So glad you're with us today. We want to start right off with some very beautiful music from my good friend Johnny Ray Watson. As you know, we're looking at his album. In fact, I have it right here in my hands now. Johnny Ray Watson, music that heals the heart. Music that heals the heart. And today we're going to have an old favorite of mine. It is Well With My Soul. It is Well With My Soul. And I'll be right back in a minute, and we're having our series, of course, on the twisting of Scripture and the assault on Bible prophecy by the New Bible versions. But first, Johnny Ray Watson, It Is Well With My Soul.
Yeah.
continue now with our message of the twisting of scriptures and the assault on Bible prophecy by the New Bible versions. Last week I was bringing to mind 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. In the King James it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Couldn't be more clear than that. But in the NIV, it changes the word wicked to lawless, and then the lawless one will be revealed. I propose to you that wicked is certainly a more descriptive and more complete word. To say a person is lawless and to say they are wicked is quite often, possibly, two different things. Now, the American Standard Version also has, "and then that lawless one." Now, in the King James, it says of that wicked one that the Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth. The NIV, however, says whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth. Well, now here we have a big difference. Is it consume or is it overthrow? Do you overthrow something with the breath of your mouth? Or do you consume? You see, if God's breath is like a burning fire, I believe consume, because a fire consumes everything in its path. And certainly a fire from God. But to overthrow something, it seems to be a little weak, doesn't it? A little incomplete in the NIV. Well, let's get to the American Standard, though. Whereas the King James says the Lord shall consume the wicked with the spirit of his mouth, here it says the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. Do you slay with the breath of your mouth? Do you overthrow with the breath of your mouth? Or do you consume? If God is a burning fire, then I believe consume obviously is the correct word. But look at these choices of words by the NIV and the ASV. Is that meant just to confuse somebody? Now imagine three different people sitting in the church pew, all studying in a Bible study format, the same verse. One reads overthrow, one reads slay, and one reads consume. An entire image and picture and understanding comes in each person's mind. And there we have a state of chaos or confusion. Now let's continue. In the King James it says, "and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." My friends, the brightness of Jesus Christ, who is the light of this world, when he comes, that light shall be so bright it literally will destroy the wicked one. But in the NIV it says destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now we have a difference. Is it the brightness of his coming, as it is in the King James, or is it by the splendor of his coming? I propose to you, my friends, that there are many things that are full of splendor that don't destroy. What kind of a weakness do we have here? I think we have a big weakness. And I believe it's quite obvious that the light of Jesus can be powerful. You know, we have laser lights now that can totally burn a person to a crisp. A laser light, for example, if focused and concentrated by laser weapons or laser instruments, such as a laser lathe, can literally bore a hole through 6 inches of metal, of steel. Imagine the power of that light that is a laser. I believe the light of Jesus Christ is like a laser light, and it will destroy the devil and the wicked one when the coming of Jesus is here. No one except the servants of God, giving the strength and invincibility by Christ Jesus himself, will be able to withstand that laser-like light that is the brightness of Jesus coming. Then when we get to the NIV and we see it's destroyed by this lawless one, they claim, will be destroyed by the splendor of his coming. I don't think the splendor of anyone's coming will destroy anybody. But then we get to the American Standard Version, it gets even worse. Again, we have the King James. It says, "shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Here it says, "bring to an end by the appearance of his coming." So we've moved from the brightness of the coming of the light that is Jesus to the splendor of his coming to the simple appearance of his coming. Well, we realize that he will appear, but in the King James, it tells how he will appear. As a bright light, the deity of Christ. I mean, can you imagine? You see, Satan is of the darkness, but God is full of light. I'm telling you, if you want to have an image and understanding that is true, the only thing that will work here, my friends, is the King James Bible and not the NIV and the American Standard. And anyone that tries to understand Bible prophecy, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, one of the most important verses in the Bible as far as prophecy is concerned, will be absolutely frustrated if they use the New Bible versions. Now, we're going to continue with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 11 through 12 now. And I read to you first from the only true Bible there is available to us in English, the King James. We read, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion." I'm going to stop right there. Okay? "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion." But let's go to the NIV. It says, "For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion." Is there a big difference? I believe there is between the word cause and reason. For this cause and for this reason. In the King James, it says God shall send them strong delusion. Here it's a powerful delusion. I want you to understand that strong is much more descriptive than simply powerful. Strong. Powerful. Well, but let's go to the American Standard. It reads, "And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence." Now we've gone from a strong delusion in the King James to a powerful delusion. Now just to a deluding influence. How weak can you get? Here we have a succession then of weakening terminology in these Bible versions. In the King James, it says, "That they should believe a lie." We continue. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." The NIV, it says, "So that they will believe the lie." Well, my friends, there is a lie and then there is the lie. I think there's a big difference in those pronouns between a lie and the lie. However, let's go to the American Standard. It reads, "So that they might believe what is false." Friends, there is a big difference between a lie and just what is false. You say, well, what is the difference? Well, you know, I could get out Webster's dictionary and we could go into all kinds of antonyms and synonyms. But come on. You can tell someone that something is false and they're not too offended. But tell them it's just an outright lie. And let me tell you, they just get on their little hackles, don't they? People know the difference between something that's false and something that's a lie. A lie, you see, has intent to deceive, where something that's false might be, well, just accidental, unintentional. Here we have, then, the fact is that God sends people a strong delusion so that they should believe a lie. And my friends, that is much more incredibly strong than this weakling little American Standard that says, "So that they might believe what is false." Well, we continue. The King James, it says, "That they all might be damned who believe not the truth." Whew. God just says it flat out. He will send you a strong delusion and you'll believe a lie and you'll be damned. All of those who believe not the truth. That's from the King James. You'll be damned if you believe not the truth. Well, let's go to the NIV. It says, "So that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth." Well, see, the King James, God said, "You'll be damned." And all of a sudden, we got a little softening. Yeah, condemned is a pretty tough word. Now, friends, would you rather be damned or condemned? A condemned person is not necessarily damned. God can condemn you for a sin, but he won't damn you to hell for it. So you see, there is a big, big difference in the intensity of these two words. To be damned is not the same as to be condemned. And yet the NIV attempts to strip the power from this word. But we go to the American Standard. Again, the King James is that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Couldn't be more clear than that. The American Standard, though, says that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth. My friends, to be judged means that it has not yet occurred. We don't know what the final result would be. Even the NIV says it's condemned. And evidently the NIV then, the translators there, are saying you'll be condemned. Now that's not as strong as to be damned, but it's a good sight better than just to be judged. You may be judged. That they all may be judged who did not believe the truth. Well, what's going to happen to you when that judging takes place? Well, the American Standard doesn't tell you. What it says there, if you believe this deluding influence and you believe what is false, well, you may be judged. Well, I'm telling you, friends, you will be judged. In fact, and here's the judgment, that you will be damned. Because that's King James. You see how these two other versions of the Bible, best-selling, yes, the New International Version and the American Standard Bible, are both so deceptive? But we're not finished yet. The King James end, it says, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's go to the NIV. That all will be condemned, says the NIV, who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. Well, is there a difference between having pleasure in unrighteousness and delighting in wickedness? Some people would say no. I would ask this question then, if the NIV claims that it's a better version of the Bible because it uses more fresh language, does that help your understanding any? The difference between pleasure in unrighteousness and delighted in wickedness? I don't think so. Are you so dumb today? Is America so dumb that they don't understand the meaning of the word unrighteous versus wicked? And by the way, the American Standard mixes it up a little bit. The King James has pleasure in unrighteousness. The NIV has delighted in wickedness. The American Standard says took pleasure in wickedness. And they use one word from the King James and one from the NIV. Now, you have to understand the reason that these Bible versions do these things. You see, they copyright their Bibles. And in fact, if you use too many quotes from their Bibles, like you quote them in a book or something, you have to get permission from the publisher. Maybe even have to pay something to them for the privilege of quoting from God's Word. Now, I don't understand this. How can they own God's Word if it's truly God's Word? But they say they do. They say the words in our Bibles belong to us. We've copyrighted them. It's a commercial property. And thus, it's necessary to use their own words for it to be copyrighted. You see, the copyright law says that ideas cannot be copyrighted, only the exact expression. It is the way you express something, the terms you use, the exact words that you use, and how you put them together. That alone is copyrightable. That means that to make money, it is necessary for these new Bible version companies, corporations, to make sure that a sufficient number of words are changed throughout the Bible. What percent? Well, the law doesn't say. 5%, 10%, 20%, 30%. The fact is, though, as any copyright attorney would tell you, the more the expression and the words are changed, the less likely anyone will be able to challenge you in court and win a copyright case against you as a publisher. And thus, it is interesting that both the NIV and the ASB Bibles have done their best to change what are quite simple words in the King James Bible. In many cases, they've actually used more difficult words in the newer Bible versions. And they did so because they could not use the same easy and plain words as are in the King James Bible because you can't copyright something that's already in print. And the King James has been in print since 1611. So they have to make changes. And sometimes the changes are very complicated and difficult and unnecessary. And that's one reason for these differences. Well, let's go to 1 Timothy now, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Read you a long piece of or passage of scripture here from Bible prophecy now, from the King James Bible. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Well, we want to stop right there. Let me give you some of the key words here. In the latter times, the King James says, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you know that there are seducing spirits, my friends? And God says, the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Seduction is a powerful word, very explanatory and descriptive. What adjectives we have here. And doctrines of devils. Not just teachings, not just things they say, but doctrines of devils. And some people will give heed to these and in so doing will depart from the faith. Well, now what do the other Bible versions have to say about these same words? The NIV reads, "The Spirit clearly says." A little different than "speaketh expressly," isn't it? See, I think "speaketh expressly" means exactly expressly. That means don't change anything. It says exactly this. But the NIV says, "it clearly says." I think there's a difference. I think "clearly" is far less complete than what the King James has. We continue. It says, "the Spirit," now the NIV, "the Spirit clearly says that in later times, deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." Deceiving spirits. But the King James says, "seducing spirits." Isn't it plain what a difference we have here? It is one thing to have a spirit that deceives you. But if that spirit seduces you, how much more complete is that deceit? So deceit, to be a deceitful or a deceiving spirit, is only the beginning. But the King James tells you expressly that it is a seducing spirit. You know, if I were going to fall for the evil tongue of the devil, I'd rather fall victim to a deceiving spirit than a seducing spirit. Because when you seduce someone, that has a very close meaning. It's like a sexual connotation, and you become one with that spirit. When you're seduced, you literally, the two shall become one. You become one with that devil's spirit. But to be deceiving is far less complete in your fall from the truth. And we read the second part. The King James says, "giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." This says things taught by demons in the NIV. Friends, things taught are not the same as doctrines. Things taught are not the same as doctrines. The doctrines of Jesus Christ are not just things taught. But they're that body of instruction that has salvation value and explanatory value and can change things. And doctrine is something that is so complete. It's like having a manual or a guide that has every bit of instruction in it that you need. But these are just things taught by demons. And if I had time today, I'd even give you the difference between devils and demons. And a lot of people have written me letters and they said, you know, the King James used the word devils. Other versions, demons. There could be a difference. I think God meant just what he said. And in so many instances in the New Testament, it says that Jesus cast out devils. I think that's a lot more explanatory than just to say, if we would say, which I'm not going to say, that he cast out demons. Now, interestingly enough, in the American Standard Version, it says in latter times, or in later times, then it refers to deceitful spirits. That's much like the NIV. Then it comes back and says, and doctrines of demons. So it goes back to doctrines again. But it carries forward the deceitful spirits or deceiving spirits of the NIV. So the American Standard tries to take a little bit of the King James and a little bit of the NIV, mix them together. But in so doing, they simply confuse you even more. Here again, my friends, we have the fact that the King James Bible is the only version that you can trust when you're studying Bible prophecy. You want to be a watchman? You want to be a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth? Please, I beg you, use only the King James Bible. Well, this is Tex Mars. We're going to continue with our series on scripture twisting and the assault on God's word. We're going to expose this. We'll do that next week as we continue this series. Glad to have you with us today. Be back again next week, and may God richly bless you until then.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.